Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. Always enjoy talking to our next guest, Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, who joins us now. Sean, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys? Happy New Year.
We are doing fantastic. Ready to watch some late night hockey tonight and tomorrow and hopefully bring back 4 points out of those two games. But this road trip will still be going on. I feel like they're going to be gone forever until January 11th when back at Bridgestone Arena. We were just talking about some great Titans wins. Do you have a favorite Preds win, or are they kind of like your kids and you can't pick a favorite one? But is there one that stands out?
Yeah, there really is. I came here in 2010. Got here Labor Day weekend. My family didn't come until, I guess, November, after the first semester was over in school. But they came up in October for maybe our second game of the season. We're playing Chicago. And at the time, when I was consulting for a few different teams in Lightning, my youngest son became a Blackhawk fan. And so we're playing the Blackhawks. And, of course, he was all in for the Preds. He was wearing a Shea Weber jersey. And I forget the exact score, but maybe with 5 minutes left, we're losing 3-0. And then maybe you remember the game. It was my first standing ovation, and I didn't understand it because we were losing 3-0, I think. And all of a sudden, the fans get on their feet, and we're sitting in the end zone. My son was 10 years old, 15, 3, and 6 for all my kids. And so we're all standing. I'm like, what is going on? Like, we're losing 3-0. We're about to lose to the defending Stanley Cup champs. And right out of that, Weber scores. A couple of minutes later, I forget who scored. I think it was Smithson scored another one. And then Weber, after someone called a timeout, not a TV timeout, no standing ovation, and then Weber scored to tie it up with maybe, 4 seconds left. I'm sure I'm exaggerating everything I just said. But then we won it in overtime, like right away, like just right off the puck drop, and the place exploded. And that's when I realized just how cool this move was going to be for me and my family. And that moment, my son just wore number 6 in everything he did. Every sport he played, got switched from 99 to 6, and it was fun.
So with this, I just pulled this up. Does October 13th, 2010 sound right?
Yeah, there you go. That's it exactly. What was the final score? Tell me how wrong I was on everything I just said, because I'm sure I was
No, this isn't it, because this would be in Chicago. But it was
it was a home game.
Yeah, it was an overtime win. I'll have to see if I can find it. But I think I
– prove me a truther, not a liar, okay?
I do remember this game. I know you're right, because I remember Shea Weber.
Our family's first game together. That's what I remember most about it, and that's what I always talk about with memorable games. You actually don't remember the score normally. You don't even remember too many things from the game. You remember who you're with, where you're sitting, what happened, what they were wearing, and that's what's cool about sports, I think.
Yeah, well, for me, it's when, and I guess it would have been 2012, the final game against Detroit in the playoffs. When it was the iconic picture of Shea Weber. It was like the passing of the torch. But I was there with my dad, and it was like we finally beat Big Brother. Like that's kind of what it felt like of all those years. And that's why I miss Detroit being in the Western Conference so much, because I miss those battles, because it meant so much, in the early days of the franchise.
Yeah, it's funny. I think every young franchise can point to that win. And it might have been a regular season win, maybe a playoff series win that transforms who you are. And I remember when I was in Tampa, it was us beating Philadelphia. It was the same thing. They used to bully us, tease us, steal our players, offer sheet our players. And it was awful. And you beat them in the playoffs. It was that same thing. It was the handshake, not so much even the 7 games of that series or 6 versus Chicago. It's just something about beating the team that you wanted to be, first and foremost, right? You wanted to have the success that they had. And to step past that, it's something in both cases. But, yeah, there's no doubt. That handshake picture is incredible. It's funny, though. We both talked about memories with Shea Weber, and how fitting is it that in 2 weeks we're going to be honoring Shea Weber, Pecorino, and David Poile in the Golden Hall. And that was not even a setup. That was just natural from the heart, wasn't it?
And it worked out perfectly, because I was going there next. I'm excited about that. I think, any Preds fan should be excited about it, but especially the ones that, have been around since the beginning or the early days, to see those three, you can use the word pillars, pave the way, whatever you want to do to describe those three. For you all to make them the first class of the Golden Hall makes so much sense. There's no other people that should be in consideration for that. So I know it's going to be special. It's going to be a special couple of days, you know, for you, for the franchise as a whole, really to have those three back in Smashville, but also to honor them in a way that they deserve.
Yeah, it really will be special. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be on the Zoom call when we broke the news to Shea and Peck and kind of had them do it to each other or tricked them. The best part was talking to each one of them, asking them to invite the other person or let them know they're being inducted. And they're both so excited about that on its own. The shame about the video, I wasn't even on video. I was leaving a doctor and some stitches under my eye. And I thought I was on video and I was afraid of what I would look like. But unfortunately, I wasn't. But it was really neat to see the love they have for each other and the passion they both have for this organization, the city. But those three guys, I mean, David, it was the architect that brought the team here and decided what type of a team we were going to be, what type of people we were going to be. And, you know, when we first started turning the corner on becoming a better team, we were fortunate enough to host that draft that Shea Weber was drafted in, which is pretty fitting as well. And then, obviously, when Pekka came along, kind of defined what we could be and brought us to our highest heights to date, you know, whether it be a Stanley Cup or President's Trophy or just a consistent playoff appearance team. Those guys mean it all. And, you know, for Shea, you know, he hasn't played here in 8 years, or I guess 9 years now, as we turn the corner on 2025. But it's hard to think about the Preds without thinking about number six and the C on his chest.
We were talking to famous Broadway street musician Sean Henry on the Chase and Big Joe show. All right, I got a question for you, and I want you to answer this honestly, and you don't have to name names. Have you ever got into an argument at Bridgestone with an opposing team's management, say their owner or GM or somebody? Have you ever?
You know, first of all, I mean, I always answer your questions honestly, Joe. Good gosh. Suggesting that I should answer it honestly implies otherwise.
Right.
You know what? As much as you hate every other team, in theory, you have a lot of good friends with other teams. It's just the way it is. I mean, we kind of all grew up together, worked for some different teams, crossed paths, helped each other here or there. But, like, in all things, there are a couple of people you just can't stomach in your life. You can't. You don't even like being around them, right? And, you know, have there been some cryptic words, sarcastic words that build into harsh words, that build into some vulgarity? Maybe for other people. I don't know. For me, of course not. But there have been a handful of small incidents where, you know, guys think they're on the ice and they want to bring that same type of an edge. We always try to treat people really well. What we always say is if you're bringing your sponsors here, your parents trip here, or having a special night, a player's going to get his 1,000th game, we want to make sure it's special for you. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to deliver you, you know, cotton balls in your locker room. But we try to be good sports. But there have been a few guys that you cross in this league that, you know, you just don't like. It's the way the world is. But of the 32 teams, guys in my position, you know, we all pretty much like each other with the exception of two people. It's pretty universal who they are. And that changes every few years. But, yeah, there are some boners, of course. I got in trouble once for calling one of them a schmuck on the radio, which, by the way, not a bad word.
No. Yeah, right.
To clear it up before my son starts yelling at me again. But he was. And I don't know. I guess sometimes when you act like a fool, you should be called out. And sometimes I've acted like a fool, as you both know. And it's okay when people call you out for it. So, yeah, of course it happens a little bit. Just like I know you've had some brushes with, you know, your colleagues in the media industry trying to elbow in front of you and getting a better shot. And Obesley was always pushing you around and bullying you.
We had that stepladder, so he's put it on my foot.
I asked because
I remember in 2017, the Pittsburgh media claimed that you guys were piping music into the fake noise. Remember that? They were like, oh, it's off.
And then Vegas pulled that too.
And it came to the point where, like, some people in the Pittsburgh organization were saying that Bridgestone Arena, they're piping this music. No way it's that loud. And then they started attacking us, the media. We're like, we're just here to cover the game. It escalated to a point where, had it gone back to Pittsburgh, I'm not sure Fisk might not have been flying up there.
You know, it was funny. That was a fun series. Of course, I wish we won two more games. You know, they got what we wanted. You know, they won their third cup in that stretch, you know, fifth overall. But their fans were so upset with how much we were being celebrated as a city and a hockey city. And I think that translated maybe a little bit to some people that worked with the organization. I don't know, Catfish Jake, you know, threw a catfish on the ice. Should he have done it? I don't know. I'll leave that to others to decide. But to actually arrest him and want to hold him overnight, that's a little crazy citywide.
Oh, yeah.
With that said, it's hard not to love that passion, right?
Right.
I mean, here they are. They're playing their fourth Stanley Cup in, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. Ideally, if they win, they win their third one, fifth overall. Of course, they're fans of passion. And Pittsburgh is one of the great sports cities I've ever been to. I hated it when I was there for that series, of course. But you still kick back a little bit and laugh at the things that the fans are chanting at us. We were sitting with Carrie Underwood in a suite, and we were all laughing at some of the things that were being said, because that's where the passion should stop and end. I mean, sometimes then people take it really oddly and make some weird statements, like some of the media did about the Sound, which, I mean, you have to come to any Monday night game in February against a non-great opponent, and you know how loud the building is, how fun it is.
Right.
And there's so many good ones that way. Like, I loved when we played Winnipeg. And that, let's face it, that series in the second round was the two best teams in hockey playing.
Oh, yeah.
Went 7 games. What was really cool about it is we get along so well with their management group that we were sharing different ideas, and they created what we did in 2017 and 2018 outside the building. And it was fun to see, and their fans were great to us, and ours were to them. Now, you wanted to win every single shift, every single period of the game. Sports should be fun. They should be passionate. They should stir up emotions, anger, sadness, but most importantly, joy. And it always makes me laugh when people forget that, and you'll want to hold a guy in jail overnight, driving a fish strap to him for 10 hours.
Sean, I tell people all the time that I will never forget that series in Winnipeg, that the atmosphere, besides here, but the atmosphere inside that building and outside, but inside that building with the whiteout and just it's a smaller building and how loud it was one of the coolest things to be a part of in an opposing rink.
It was absolutely awesome. The parties outside both cities, the way every media person covered both teams in such a you always say it, like, let's have fun, let's smile, let's be joyful.
Yeah.
But that's how both cities were. And, of course, there were some understories of, hey, this was wrong. You break down the box score, if you will. But the overall love affair the cities had with their teams, for a good stretch in there, from 16 to 19 or 20 for both teams, it was something. And the other night when we played Winnipeg, first, I was texting back and forth before the game, never during the game, to my counterpart with Winnipeg. Because some of my best friends in the world are, they work with other teams. And it's fun to be able to build something. You don't compete. Like, we're never going to compete for a sponsorship or maybe an employee. But in reality, you help each other build the business. You help each other build the game. And that's a commonality in our sport and most sports. We all love the game so much that you work hard on making the game bigger and better all the time. But you have 32 partners. And, of course, the league as well. You forget about it for 3 hours when you play each other. That's all.
Real quick, one of my favorite events is coming up on Thursday. The Preds Foundation will host the Bruno and Friends Preds and Pens Celebrity Bowling Tournament presented by Delta Airlines at the Hermitage Strike and Spare. I'm blessed enough to be able to participate in this with the coaching staff and raising money for the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily and benefiting Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. Love this event. I know it's a special one and really looking forward to it on Thursday.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Joe was on my team 1 year, and I think we finished third from last. So I re-engineered my team this year. Of course, the anchor is my wife. She's from Michigan, so of course she's a great bowler. I think that's all they do up there. And had tryouts throughout our staff, and I think we've assembled a pretty good team. We have some good eternal fun wagers to see who comes out on top. So you should be in our building the day after to see who has to wear the bowling pin of the losing team. Hopefully it's Bill Wickett again, because I know how much you idolize him. But, Joe, hopefully you're placed on someone else's team as a celebrity and not mine this year.
Yeah, we'll see, because I want to beat you. I think you and I may have to come up with some sort of friendly wager. So,
Yeah, you came the wager, I'll accept it, because you wanting to do something and you doing something are very different things. So,
wow.
The odds of you beating my team are literally non-existent.
Wow.
There's only one team I'm scared of, and that is the Anheuser-Busch team, because they bring out some bowlers. I think they've won it every year. We finished in second once or twice. And by the way, I'm an awful bowler. I just think I assemble decent bowlers. And, of course, I married one of the best there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come up with something for sure. Sean, appreciate the time as always. Happy New Year. And we'll be watching tonight, tomorrow, and the rest of this road trip, and see you at the rink on January 11th.
Yeah, let's all have a Happy New Year. I mean, last year, 24, turned the corner for the team, did some fun, exciting things. Of course, in the summer, we had some fun. And now let's see it all come together and grow. And might as well start that tonight and tomorrow, some back-to-back fun games. So thanks, Chase. I'll see you at the bowling alley. And I look forward to accepting whatever spoils I get from beating you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, there's something cool happening in our city. We'll tell you more about that. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.